Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 19 years now. We have been bringing these messages to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If this is your first time listening today, we welcome you. Hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. And for those of you who have been with us for many years, we thank you. We appreciate you. And so we look forward to bringing many more messages to come in the days ahead. And so today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. This is part one of spiritual warfare, and there'll be several messages in this series. And so if you have your Bible there, we're going to start out in Ephesians, the classic scripture regarding spiritual warfare, the armor of God, Ephesians 6 in verse 10. Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare here in just a minute, the gospel armor, and then go on to other subjects in spiritual warfare. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you just a minute about what's going on here in Kenya. As I spoke in the prayer time, we need another piece of land. We have 1 acre that we intend to build a school on, and then we need another acre beside that for a football field and play area. And so if you would stand with us in prayer, that piece of land is about $6,000, and the school is going to cost about $100,000. So pray with us regarding that project, and it will be a great project for the village of Makunda. It's going to be a primary school, and there are many Muslims in Makunda, so their children also will be coming to that school because they know that they can get a good education and get a good meal in the day. And so pray with us on that project, that we can get started going on that project and bring this to fruition. And also the school is going to be in a loving Christian environment, and so we'll be able to preach the gospel to these children, share Bible stories, share Bible songs or Christian songs. And so this is going to be a great evangelism tool. Besides giving the children a good education, it will be an evangelistic tool that we can bring children to know the Lord, even the Muslim children. And so pray with us as we go forward on that project. Well, today we're going to be talking about the spiritual armor, spiritual warfare. This is a big, big subject. Really, everything in the Bible is about spiritual warfare. Even all the Old Testament, the battles of the Old Testament, and going back to the Garden of Eden, that was certainly a spiritual warfare when the devil came into the garden in the form of a snake and spoke to Adam and Eve. And so the whole Bible, you might say, is spiritual warfare manual. And so it's important, if you don't know and don't understand spiritual warfare, it's important that you listen to these series of messages and apply it to your life. See how these principles, these things apply to your own life, where you can seal up your life to get the devil out of your life, seal up the gospel armor as you put it on and keep the devil out of your life. Move forward in your walk with the Lord. Move forward in the kingdom of God. And so that is what spiritual warfare is all about. Well, when you talk about spiritual warfare, you're going to be discussing things like powers and principalities and demons. And so maybe viewer discretion or listener discretion is advised, because we're going to be talking about demons here. But this is a reality of the unseen world that we live in. There are demons in this world. There's demons that will oppress you, harass you, torment you. Some of you know about that very well if you've been in the spirit realm of drugs and fighting addictions and battling those kind of things in your life. You understand the spirit world very well. You understand the warfare that goes on around your life. And so this is a big, big subject, as I said, and we'll take it up in three or four different sessions to try to get you a basic understanding of spiritual warfare in your life. And so, by the way, I have a book ready to come out. Get Ready for War is the name of it, the working title, and it's on spiritual warfare, about 200 pages. And so if you want to help me get that book published, it's going to take about $2,500 to get it published and get the first copies purchased. So that is something that you can pray about as well. Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul. And as I spoke, this is the classic scripture pertaining to spiritual warfare, the hierarchy of the devil, the hierarchy of Satan, the classifications of spiritual entities that rule the earth. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the evil one, or the schemes of the devil. Well, the schemes, New King James calls that the wiles or the schemes, because the devil is always scheming to destroy you. And if you don't understand that, you need to understand that the devil is opposed to everything you do in the kingdom of God. And if you are a strong believer and you've been battling in the spirit realm for many years in prayer and in fasting and in Bible study, you know that the devil wants to take you out of your calling. He wants to take you out of your destiny. He wants to take you out of all the purposes of God in your life. And so that is the battle right there. As soon as you become a Christian, as soon as you become born again, then the devil has a bullseye on your back, and he will try his best to destroy you. Doesn't matter what age. Even if you're 5 years old, the devil's going to try to destroy you. And if you're 50 or 80, the devil will try to destroy you. And so ultimately, the devil is the counterpart, or the Antichrist, the counterpart to everything God wants to do in your life, everything God wants to do on this earth. And so that is the battle right there. And the devil is always scheming. He cannot create anything on his own, but he can counterfeit, he can duplicate, and he can mimic, and he can mock. And so he is always scheming to try to bring about chaos and create havoc in your life and take you out of your calling and your destiny. And so in verse 12, Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers," or the powers and the principalities, "against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So I'll list those again as the New King James discusses them. Powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness, or spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And those last, that last terminology, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, talks about the demons who live in the second heaven and also on this earth. And those demons then are sent to torment you. They follow you. They follow your family. They are territorial. And they also follow families, generation curses of demons that have tormented your family and tormented your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. They also will come around to harass you. And so that is hierarchy. God has his hierarchy, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the devil has his as well, his power elite, powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so then Paul goes on to say, therefore, in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So stand your ground. When you're in a battle, when you're in a fight, you stand your ground. You don't run and turn your back to the devil and run. You stand your ground and you say, devil, I have a greater power in me. Greater is he that is in you than that little he that is in the world. You have a greater power in you. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit of the living God abides in you. And so that Spirit then will give you counsel, will give you wisdom, will give you words of wisdom, words of knowledge. That Spirit then will allow you to stand firm against the devil. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of demons and run the other way. You don't have to be afraid of demons and turn to all kinds of substances to help you cope with life, all kinds of illegal and legal substances to help you cope with life. You just have to stand firm and believe what God says about you. Believe that greater is he, greater is God, the Holy Spirit that is in you than that little he, that devil, the demon that is in the world. So Paul says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, we'll take up those two things. First of all, this is the gospel armor. The gospel armor covers your body. The gospel armor prevents the arrows of the devil, the wiles of the devil, from penetrating your gospel armor and getting into your soul. When the devil wants to lead you astray, when he wants to take you out away from your destiny, away from your calling, away from God's purposes for your life, he will try to attach to your soul and get you into soul-binding covenants or soul-binding agreements with the devil that will take you away from your calling and bring death and destruction and torment into your life. And so the devil, that is his purpose. That is the way he does it. And so the first two pieces of the whole armor of God, the first two pieces that Paul discusses here, number one is the belt of truth. And this is like the Roman armor that the Roman soldiers used to put on their bodies. And that belt of truth was a big belt that they would strap on. It would hold the garments in place, hold the other armor garments in place. And that belt represents protecting your sexual organs, protecting your lower body. And the sexual immorality, of course, is one of the main ways that the devil attacks us. And why is that? Because reproduction is a basic human function. And God said in Genesis 1:26, he said, multiply and replenish the earth, and I will give you authority over all the cattle, over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and over every creeping thing on the earth. And so when we have as our basic mission to multiply and replenish the earth, the devil wants to get in the way of that and pervert that sexual drive, pervert the good intention of the Lord for us to multiply and bring forth children who also will worship God, bring forth children who know God. And so the devil tries to pervert the sexual function, the reproductive function. And so that is how you get perversion of all kinds, sexual immorality, rape and adultery and homosexuality and transgender perversion, all of these different kinds of perversion, bestiality that have to do with sexual function. And so we put that belt of truth over our sexual organs. And then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, the breastplate went over the Roman soldier's chest, over his breast, covered the heart, covered the other organs, the liver and the pancreas, the stomach, the kidneys, all of that was protected somewhat by the breastplate of righteousness, but primarily the heart. The heart is the seat of passion. The Bible says that the issues of life come forth from the heart. And he says, in Proverbs, guard your heart with all diligence. And guard your heart, that means don't let anybody into your heart. Guard your heart that only people of God come into your heart. When you hang out with people that are full of sin, people that are full of immorality, people doing drugs, people drinking all the time. When you hang out with those people, you then become like them. Bad company corrupts good morals. And so you have to guard your heart and protect your heart. And that is what the breastplate of righteousness does. It guards that heart. And then as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And so when you put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Jesus is the peace giver. John 14, verse 27, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And so when you put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, everywhere you go, you should bring peace. When you go into difficult, tumultuous situations, contentious situations, you should bring wisdom and the gospel of peace, because you are the carrier of peace. And we want peace in the world, but there aren't enough Christians in the world, beloved, to bring peace into the world. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Well, the problem is about 2/3 of the people in the world don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're people of other religions bent on destroying Christians, bent on destroying the USA, bent on destroying Israel. And so we don't have enough Christians and God-fearing people on the earth to bring peace on the earth. And so we have to pray for peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of the United States. And people that think that we can just pull back from all the places that we have troops in the world and military bases in the world, people that think that we can just pull back from that and sit around the campfire and sing Kumbaya as we watch other countries destroy and destruct, that isn't going to happen. That's a very naive attitude. It's a very naive picture of the world. We have to have people and defenders out there helping our allies, France, Great Britain, Israel, all of the allies of the U.S. We have to be in agreement with them, even Ukraine, although it's a very difficult war in Ukraine. Ukraine is an ally of ours, and for us to deter Russian aggression, we need to try to help Ukraine and other countries, Poland and Latvia and the other countries of Eastern Europe. We need to help them stop Russian aggression, because Russia wants to destroy the U.S. along with North Korea and China and Iran. Those countries are bent on destroying the U.S., and so we have to stop them whenever we can. Put the foot down and say, no, you can't go there. No, you can't come here. And so that is the message to our enemies. And so we have to help withstand the wiles of the evil one as well. And then in verse 16, he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts or the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so we have the shield of faith on our arm, on our left arm, and it is out in front of us. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for those that come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so without faith, if you never step out in faith, you're not going to see God move in your life. If you never step out in faith, you're not going to ever move out of your comfort zone. If you don't step out in faith, you're not going to see great and mighty things. You're not going to see mountains moved into the sea. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, mountain, go from here to there, mountain, go from your place into the sea, and you will see great and mighty things. And beloved, if after you've walked with the Lord for many years and seen exploits of the Lord in your life, see the Lord move in your life, answer prayer, you will understand that faith is the propellant, or faith is the fuel that drives the engine in your life. It drives the Spirit of God in your life. You have to step out in faith. You have to exercise your faith. If you just say, I have faith, but you never get off the church pew, or you never do the first thing to utilize your faith, faith without works is dead, James says in James 2:14. Faith without works is dead. What good is it if your brother comes and he wants a blanket or he wants something to eat and he is destitute or he is in poverty and he has no food or no shelter? What good is it if you say you have faith, but you don't do anything to help him? You don't express your faith in any way to help him. And so faith without works is dead. So that shield of faith goes before you. It goes before you. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And so that shield of faith goes before you. You exercise your faith. Then you see the reality of what you are praying for, what you're asking for, what you're stepping into. You see the reality of it then come to pass in the natural world. And so that faith is very important for you to grow your faith, exercise your faith, manifest your faith. And you, when you do that, then you will see the great exploits of God start to come to pass in your life. Well, verse 17, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So that's two more pieces. The helmet of salvation protects your mind, and your mind is very important because the devil can get into your mind with his thoughts. He is a master deceiver. He is a liar. Jesus said about him, he is a murderer and he is a liar from the beginning, and he will come to you and lie to you. He will make you believe that if you follow him, he will give you wealth, he'll give you riches, he'll give you good health. Everything that you need comes from the devil. Jesus himself was tempted by the devil, and the devil took him up to the high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. This is Matthew chapter 4, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, Jesus, if you will bow down to me, if you will worship me, I'll give you all of these kingdoms. And we see that happening with many famous celebrities. The devil promises them wealth and fame and fortune and all kinds of the kingdoms of the world. And many of these people end up committing suicide or end up being cocaine addicts or alcoholics or whatever. It's very difficult when the devil promises you the kingdoms of the world to say, no, devil, I'm going to stay with Jesus. And it's very difficult. And many people end up in the Hollywood trap, submitting to the devil, succumbing to his temptation so that they can have their 5 minutes of fame. Well, understand this, that the devil will try to destroy you through the kingdoms of the world, promising you fame and fortune. And so you have to stand strong and cover your head, cover your mind with the helmet of salvation. Well, that salvation is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That salvation is eternal life with the Lord Jesus and with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit. That salvation is the free gift of God. For all have sinned, Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then in 6:23, Paul says that the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal salvation. For the wages of sin is death. When you have a lot of sin in your life, you're going to get paid the wages of death, spiritual death, and physical death. And so when you submit to the gospel, submit to the message of the gospel and the free gift of God, that is eternal life with Jesus Christ. When you submit to that, you're going to turn the devil away. Your thought life will change. Everything about your life will change. And you will then be a kingdom warrior. You're going to be somebody walking in the Spirit of the living God. And then, of course, Paul finishes it up here. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Well, that means praying in the Holy Spirit. And that means praying the will of God in your life, praying the Bible scripture, praying the scripture in your life, praying the will of God, and then doing the will of God in your life, doing that in a way that brings glory to God in your life, glory to God in the things that you do. And so that is God's will for your life. And so we have that gospel armor, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shoes of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit is in your right hand as you hold that shield of faith in your left hand. The sword of the Spirit is in your right hand. That is the only offensive weapon that you have. All the rest are defensive weapons. That offensive weapon is the Word of God. It is quick and powerful. Quick and powerful, it tells us in Hebrews 4, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, even to discern or separate the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the Word of God is quick. It is powerful. The Word of God, hide it in your heart. It becomes your greatest weapon, your greatest offensive weapon. Again, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was confronted by the devil three times in the wilderness area, every single time Jesus spoke to the devil, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And so Jesus spoke back to the devil, the Word of God. He took that offensive weapon in his hand and he pierced the devil with the Word of God. Well, beloved, spiritual warfare is a big subject. As I said, we'll take this up again next week. But pray, one of the greatest weapons we have is prayer. So pray over your life. Pray over the United States of America as we go into this very, very contentious election season. Pray for Kenya. Pray for the ministry, Gather the Outcasts, here in Kenya, and you will be blessed. We will be blessed, and the kingdom will be blessed. Gather the Outcasts is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We'd love to hear from you today. Help us keep these broadcasts coming on the air. Help us move forward in the Africa mission. And so if you would today, sit down and write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests. If you have them, we'd be happy to pray with you for them. And so this is the mission of Gather the Outcasts Radio Ministry. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.